Boker Tov, world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Tet Zayin, and we're holding right at the very first word in the daf, the Halakha Mishnah. We finally arrive at the Mishnah that we've been quoting the whole time about whether Mefaglim B'Chatzi Matir. So remember, that means when you have two things that need to be done in order to be matir the next thing, then those two things are actually viewed in most circumstances, and we saw that there was a gradation of circumstances, as being separate matirim, which are really part of one, because they're both needed. And therefore, let's say if you were pigel bekometz velo belavona, belavona velo bekometz. So let's say you did just your kmitza and only of the mincha, and you didn't do anything with levona. You only had in mind to be kometz chutz lezmano or chutz lemekoma. So Rabbi Meir says, listen, if it's chutz lezmano, then even though it's only a chatzi matir, it's still pigel. V'chayamin alav karet. And it's a full-class pigel. It's not just that it's osir, mitam birabanan, or it's similar to a chutz l'mekoma, which is an ochiyev kares. It's a pure chiyev kares pigel. V'chachamim omrim, no way. Ein bo karet ad shifagel b'chol hamatir. We'll never find the chiyev of karet, meaning it will never be a full pigel, maybe osir min rabanan, and of course we were medayik previously, that it is osir min rabanan, but it's in Bokarait, Achifagel Bechol Hamatir. So you'd have to do your Machshava on every last part of what was needed in order to be Matir the next step. Umodim Chachamim L'Rabbi Meir. However, in the event that there is no Levona, let's say in a Minchat Chote or Minchat Kanaut, over there, obviously, in Pigel, become it shu pigel, because there's nothing else to do the pigel in. There's only the pigel without of the actual solet of the mincha, without any levona, which doesn't exist in a minchas chote, minchas kanos. Now, even though, the Gemara earlier explained, even though this is so obvious that you'd think that a kindergarten child would say, why are you bothering telling me stuff like that? I'm intelligent, you know. So we explained that the reason that we even bother mentioning this most obvious idea is to tell me that that's why it said ein bo karet, but mashba that it was usur. Why is that? Because of the gezeira, that since if we're going to tell me that it's actually completely kosher, you might make the mistake of thinking that that would be the case also in a place where there was no levona at all. Therefore, we made the gezeira because of this case to inform us that that's the mocker of the gezeira. The rabbanon speak up because, of course, we would be maida, obviously, if there was no other chatzi matir, then this is all there is to do. So even though this seems childishly obvious, the reason that we repeat it is to explain the issur d'rabbanan. So there, the mode in pigel bekometz, which of course would be all there would be, chayovan lov karet, because in that case, the kometz is the only matir. Now we have an additional case that we've been talking about, which seems to be exactly the same, and yet we've seen that there are very important differences, that if shachat echad min akvasim, so you have the shnei kivsei atzeret, both of which are necessary in order to be matir the shtei halechem. So if you shecht one of those kivsei atzeret, remember the kivsei atzeret are zivchei shalmei tzibur, the only shlomim that a tzibur brings and have a din of kodesh kodeshim can only be eaten inside of the azara, and they are kodesh kodeshim only to be eaten by kohanim and only for that date. So don't have a din of normal shlomim. So if you had in mind been shechting only one of those kvasim, which are only half of the matir, and, or let's say we have another case, which we've also discussed in the past, where we have two matirin, and they are both of the same type. And this was the case, of course, of the Shnei Bezichei Levona, and we've discussed the gradations in those type of double matirin. So we have the double matirin of Kometz Levona, the double matirin of the Shnei Kivsei Atzeret, and the double matirin of the Shnei Bezichei Levona for the Shnei Sidrei Chalot of the Lechem HaPanim. So if you were makter only one of the Bezichim to eat both of those Sidorim the next day, Rabbi Meir says, it's fine, that's pigel. And you're chayav lav karet, because it's Yes, b'fadri b'chatzi matir. And there too the Chachomim omrim, nope, in bo karet, ad shifagel b'chol hamatir. Shachat echad min hakvasim, l'chol mimenu l'machar. Now we get into the other issue. What about if we separate the matirin into themselves? So you're going to be eating from one of these kvasim, a dover that is roi l'achila, which is, of course, only to kohanim, and you don't have any kavana about the other one. We talked about this diak in the Mishnah yesterday. So then this keves actually exists independently of the other keves, because remember that the Torah insisted on the separation of the shnei kvasim, and therefore, in and of itself, it's an integral one matir. Therefore, it and only it is matir itself. The two together are matir the lechem. So if you have a kavana to treat it as if it's disassociated with anything else, and I am going to eat from this kachi kadashim keves, which is a type of shlomim, I'm going to eat it tomorrow, and of course the kivsi atzeret can only be eaten for one day because they're kadosh kadashim, they're not normal shlomim. So then you actually were mefagel that particular keves. But if you had, and the other one is completely unaffected, obviously, chavero is kasher, if you had in mind to shecht this keves in order to eat from the other keves, you haven't done anything. And in that case, shneihem kasherim, because this is not even the matir. Keves number one is not even the matir of keves number two, and therefore there is obviously without a matir, there's no pigol. That was a fundamental ingredient of pigol. Omar Rav. Now let me tell you something, says Rav. Although there seems to be a machloket that cuts across the board, it actually does not cut across the board, because in a case where you first did something, let's say you only did the komet, and you only did that komet with a kavana of pigol, Rav's chiddush is, and we've seen this before as an important din in Rabbi Meir, that everything goes according to your first machshava, and that's called kol ha'osel dat rishona ha'osel. In that case, if you started with the machshava's pigol, then it would be as if you had been mechashev chutz lizmano on both matirin. So therefore, the only machlokus is, well, you were natanet hakometz b'shtika. So you started off by doing no kavana at all. Stam. Okay, so if it's stam, then we know stam is kosher. Stam kilishma damya. And then you brought the levona, and you had the in kavana in the levona to do the pigo. And it would also be the same if you first put the Levona, because remember, it doesn't matter which one goes first. That was one of the Yesodas we put down before, and that is that the Levona and Kometz are independent, so that you cannot call the Kmitza of the Solet. You can't call that a Mater of the Levona. That's why it doesn't affect the Levona. But so when it says, when you first put down the Kometz Pishtika and then the Levona, it doesn't mean only in that direction. It could be the other way around, too. You were not Tanat Alavana Pishtik, and then the Kometz B'machshava. That's where we have a machloket. But whatever you did first, let's say you first did the Kometz, and you did the Kometz with the Machshava Chutz Lizmano, and then you brought the Lavona without having any particular Machshava, at the Lavona Pishtika. And remember that when we say Pishtika, as Rashi always stresses, it means literally Pishtika. We don't care what you're thinking. Because the dinim, according to Rashi, the dinim of machshava that has to do with all of these cases, and machshava shelo lishma, chutzis baruch chutz lemekoma, and so on, are all expressed machshavot, not things that you say, I had deep in my heart. That's not important. What's important is actually shtika or amira. So if you gave the kometz b'machshava and the levana b'shtika, or vice versa, the levana b'machshava and the kometz b'shtika, then everybody would be moda that it's pigo, because the chachamim are also moda shekola osel dat rishonahu osel. And even though we found that idea in other cases like nedarim and so on, we found a little bit of Rabbi Meir. We know that that's always Rabbi Meir's idea in many places. The chachamim say, Rav, are also motive to this. And then, therefore, here the machlokas is only where it was the second thing that was done with the machshava chutz lizmano. And therefore, the whole series was not defined as chutz lizmano. But if you define the beginning of a series as chutz lizmano, then it would not be a chatzi mater. Everything that you did after that would be considered to be chutz lizmano, unless you say otherwise. Where Shmuel disagrees with Rav, and he says it's not true. Even if the first thing was a machsheves pigo, they still, the Chachamim would hold that you do not say that this is kol ha'ose al dat arishona hu ose. And the reason for this is not because, necessarily, Shmuel disagrees with the fundamental concept of kol ha'ose al dat rishona, but it's because, again, as Rashi insists, since the concept of a machshava of pigo is actually a dibur of pigo, so even if we would agree that things that have to do with machshava kol ha'ose al dat rishona ose, but that's not enough to turn it into an articulated statement, is it, says Shmuel? So the fact that I know deep in your heart you're a bum and you're thinking of eating this chutz lizmano, that doesn't matter to us. Because even though you may doing al dat rishona, you didn't say it. And pigo requires statement. So that means that Shmuel does not necessarily have to be arguing and that claiming that in all cases we wouldn't hold kol ha'ose al dat rishona ose. But certainly over here, it's not good enough to make it pigo. Now, Rava was sitting there, and he was saying this over, and actually, Rav Acha bar Ravuna asked Rava, because the Braita seems to say very clearly, not like this. And it says, look, it says in his Braita, which is actually a continuation, so it left out the first part of the Braita, which is that pigo can be it can be chores, even if you only brought the comments. So it started with that and goes on to say, that this braita is very critical for the rest of the daf also. So keep it in mind, please. As this is what we're starting. In the end, we're going to come back to this. When do we say that it's true that you can have a machsheves pigo for the comets and not for the Lavona, and it will still be Chai of Chorus? That's only where it comes to the question of Kmitza or Matan Kli or Hiloch. I'll tell you why. It's because those things actually do not need to be done to the Lavona. Now, this is a very iffy kind of braita, because we know that in Sota, actually, and we've been assuming all along, and we've been explaining all of the sugyas, like the Rambam, who apparently is basing his, at least according to most of the Mefarshim of the Rambam, he's basing his psak on the braita in Sota, which seems to argue on this braita, and he paskins like that braita. Namely, that when it comes to the Lavona, you do have a kmitza of the Lavona, you do have a matan kli of the Lavona. Rashi is understanding this entire sugya as being based on there not needing to be an act of kmitza on the Lavona, which makes sense. I mean, because the Lavona is scattered all over, you have to bring it back together, and then what are you being commented from? And there not even being a necessity for a matan kli, which we've been assuming all along there is. Okay, but in any event, what this braita is saying is that in those things where the komets does not require the same matir, that is to say, it doesn't require the same act of the matir, you cannot call it a chatzi matir. Because if I don't do kmitza to the Lavona, then the kmitza that I did to the mincha itself, the solat of the mincha, is the only kmitza that I have to do. And therefore, the fact that I didn't do anything to the Lavona at that point is irrelevant. Because it's only matched actions that make something matched matirin. But if you don't have an equivalent act, then you cannot call it a chatzi matir. And that's why this braita is saying there's no problem of chatzi matir. So that would be true about the kmitza. It would be true about the matan kli. And it would be true about the hiloch. But the hiloch is for a different reason. Because obviously you do have to bring the Lavona to the Mizbeach, but we'll talk about that later. But if you're talking about the actual Haftarah on the Mizbeach? Well, obviously, both the Kometz and the Levona require Haftarah on the Mizbeach. And therefore, if you did the Kometz b'shtika, and then the Levona b'machshava, or you did the Kometz b'machshava, and then the Levona b'shtika, now note that over here it says either way, meaning either the first act that you did was with machshava and the second one was b'shtika, or the first one was b'shtika and the second was b'kavana, afigo. Either way, we have our machokas. In that case, where there are two matirin, Rabbi Meir Omer, b'fagrin b'chatzi matir, and therefore pigo v'chayavan alav karet. And the Chachomim say, ein mefaglin b'chatzi matir, and therefore, ein bo karet ad shifagel b'chol matir. Okay, whatever, we'll deal with this bright and its details later. But bottom line, it says very clearly here, katani miyad, if you first gave the Kometz b'machshava, and then you gave the Levona b'shtika, and it's talking about over here in the Haftarah, so there's no other issues involved. And nonetheless, the Chachamim argue with Rabbi Meir. And according to Rav, the Chachamim would not argue with Rabbi Meir if your first kavana was b'shtikas. How do you explain that? So obviously Rav is wrong. Says Rav, well, that doesn't bother me so much, because what it might mean is not that, and then he does the Levona b'shtika. It means he had given the Levona b'shtika from before. Ema v'kvar natan et ha-Levona b'shtika meikara. Ah, oh, come on. I mean, how can you say that? First of all, that would be exactly the same as the first case. You say, you gave the Kometz b'shtika, and then Levona with machshava. And then you go ahead and you say, the same case? Except that you reverse the Kometz and Levona, I understand. But I mean, it boils down to the same thing. Does it matter which one goes first? Since ultimately we don't care whether Levona was brought first or the Kometz was brought first. So that's my first problem with this. Hanukkah, you're not really telling me any new din. Now, of course, it is making clear that we don't mean that there's a significance to the order of Kometz and Levona. You can't say that it's a complete repetition. Okay, but it seems to be that there's no big Kiddush in it. And anyway, my other problem is, va'od, there's another braita that actually duplicates this braita, except for the fact that it has two extra words in it. And the two extra words are, v'acharkach, and afterwards, again, now you can't say, if it says acharkach, you can't say, well, that really means he gave it before. Obviously, the words acharkach means he gave it afterwards, so don't try giving me that. Because anyway, you're going to have to explain the other braita. So therefore, Rav has got a problem. And Rava should stop saying over this mimer of Rav. Well, actually, Tirgama Rabbi Chanina, Bishtei Deot. Rabbi Chanina has a simple answer to Rav's problem. Who's to say it's the same coin? It could be talking about another coin. So the first coin gave it b'machshava of Chutz Lizmano. Second coin pulls up with the Levena, and he gives it b'shtika, right? Okay, so then that means it was a chatzi matir. You can't say, I'm doing it, I'll das somebody else's das rishona, obviously. So the fact that we talk about a case without specifying whether it's the same person or not means we're not getting into this particular issue of the deot. Okay, very simple. So shtei deot, that solves the whole thing. All right, well, now we got another problem. Toshma, I'm going to bring you another problem for Rav. So here, too, we're starting in the middle of the Braita. The Braita started off by saying that it depends on what type of dam we're talking about that would be able to create a pigol that would be based on only one of the matnos dam out of the others. So now remember, when it comes to matnos dam, we got a lot of situations because we've got the regular situation of a dam of a karba that is brought b'chutz. Now, the din is over there, whether we're talking about the type of karban that requires only one matan dam, like b'char or pesach and so on, or whether we're talking about most of the karbanas, eila v'shlamim, that require shnayim shein arba on the two diagonals of the mizbeach, or whether we're talking about a chatas that requires four actual applications of chitui on the kranot ha-mizbeach, it doesn't matter, because we learned in the beginning of Zvach that if you go ahead and you bring only one of those matanot dam, that the halacha is that you would be mechaper. And therefore, there's a big difference between the first matana, which is the matir, the only thing that's ma'akim, and everything else that's not ma'akim. Now, we've got a lot of other situations, of course, where we might have a lot more matanos dam than that. Let's talk about the chataot apnimiot. We've got different types of chataot apnimiot. So let's talk about the case of chatas apnimis, where we're dealing with the par halam davar shel tzibur, or where we're dealing with the par kohen mashiach. So over there, remember what we have. We do seven times hazaot on the parochet, and then we move over to the mizbeach. And on the Mizbeach, we put another Arba Matanot on the Kronot of the Mizbeach Apnimi. And then besides that, we also do, of course, the Shvicha Shirai. So over there, we've got 7 plus 4, which is 11. And possibly, if you hold that the Shirayim or Ma'akev, so we might have 12. So we have either 11 or 12 over there. And when it comes to the really complicated ones, we can get all the way up to 49 different matanais on the same set of karbanas. Because remember, if you're talking about the Aveda and Yom HaKippurim, which would include Achas Lamala and Sheva Lamata for the par, and Achas Lamala and Sheva Lamata for the Soyer, that's already brings us up to 16. Then we have to go into the Heichal. This was Ben Abanim. Now you also have to go into the Heichal, do the same thing to the Parochet, which is another 16, which brings us all the way up to 32. Then we mix the two Damim, put them together. We do four Matanais on the Kranot Mizbeach HaPnimi, which brings us to 36. And then you have to do Sheva Pa'amim on the Tiaro HaMizbeach. This is where you have it together, and that equals 43. And if you hold that you don't mix for the four kronot, then that gives us an additional, you don't mix the par and the soyer, that brings us all the way up to 47. And if you hold that you have to bring the actual shirayin, that brings us up to 48. So, I mean, you can get quite a few, matanais. And remember that the din is the matanais dam on the Mizbeach HaPnimi are ma'akim. And according to some, even the shirayim of those korbanos pnimiim that needs to be brought on the Mizbeach HaChitza and on the Yesod also are ma'akim. That would mean that we would have a lot of opportunities for being a chatzi matir, to say the least, a 1/48th of a matir. Okay, so what about that? What I said, by the way, wasn't strictly true, because it goes according to sets there, and I shouldn't say 1/48th, but it could be certainly chatzi matir on one set of the pnim, leaving out both sets of the chutz and both sets of the mizbeach, you see. Okay, so anyway, let's go back into the sugya and finish up this braita that we were looking at. So this braita makes a difference between which damim we're talking about. So it started off by saying that in a single maisa of zrikas hadam, you could create pigo if your makshava was chutzis mana. So it continues the braita to say, but when do we say that? When can just one single matandam be enough to create pigol? That's bedamim anitanim amizbeach achitzon. If this dam belongs on the outside mizbeach, yes, because over there we don't say afilu matana achas me ma'akavet. And there, that's not a chatzi matir. But damim anitanim amizbeach apnimi, where you can get, let's say, 43 matanos of Yom Kippur, or 11 matanos for the Par Yom HaKippurim, or 11 matanos for the Par Kohen Mashiach. There the din is, whether you're Pigel, Ben Berishona, Ben Bishniya, Ben Bishlishit. Now, Rishona, Shniya, Vishlishit is referring to the set, first set, second set, third set, meaning whether you would be doing the pigel on the set that's in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which is the Ben Abanim towards the Kaporet, or whether you'd be doing it in the second set, which is in the Heichal, towards the Parochet, or whether you'd be doing it in the third set, which is the Heichal, when you moved out all the way to the Mizbeach HaPnimi, Then any of those sets would be a chatzi matir. Rabbi Meir says, pidel, and you're chayav and olav karet. Again, why? Because Rabbi Meir says that you could be mefagrin b'chatzi matir. So there's no problem. And the chachomim say, ein bo karet ad shifagel b'chol ha-matir. Okay, but what did it say here, bottom line? What did it say about your first kavana? It said about your first kavana that bein berishana, bein bishniya, bein bishlishit, even if your kavana of pigel was only benogea, one of the sets, not necessarily the first set, second set, third set, that's what it says. Even if it's the first set, the chachomim were peleg on Rabbi Meir, and they said that the din is that we don't go according to your machshava rishana. Ha! And Rav says that you do. So, seems to be clearly a riot that Rav is wrong. And don't try, now, what are you going to try to tell me? You're going to try to tell me the same fancy answer you said before. Well, if it's shtei deot, that doesn't mean necessarily shtei deot from the same person. You know, it could be your first, the das of the first kohen who brought it, was to be doing it bepigel, but now a new guy comes in and his das is not to do it bepigel. How do you get a new guy on Yom Kippur? Now, I mean, you could have a new guy on Yom Kippur, because if this Kohen, he suddenly gets a heart attack in the middle, or even more unlikely, it suddenly becomes a Balkari in the middle, but on Yom Kippur, nothing's crazy about wet dreams, even if you're wide awake. So if he suddenly is Nifsal, then it happens to be that we will have to appoint the Sagan. And we'll say, okay, Sagan, get in there. You're being called upon to continue the Aveda. But when you say continue the Aveda, do you continue the Aveda? Or do you have to start over again? Aha, that is a machloket. So now, if you try to tell me that we're talking about over a year where you have two different people and not a continuation of the same individual's das, okay, it's only going to work out if you don't have to start over again. So let's see that inside. You're going to try to tell me that this Kohen became puzzle in the morning, in the middle. So then it all depends on how you understand the pasuk of Bezot Yavo Aharon El HaKodesh, Bepar Ben Bakar LeChatat, etc., right? That's Achrei Mot. What does it mean when it says Bezot Yavo Aharon? Because the new guy is the new Aharon, right? Now, it says that he wants to come into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he needs to bring a par. Is it enough if he just brings the dam of the par that the other Kohen Gadol before him, deceased or otherwise, had brought? Or does he have to start all over again? That's a machlokes. If you hold when the Torah says bepar ben bakar, it means even just with dam shel par. So all you would need is the dam of the par, and you can continue off from where you are. Okay, so then you could say it's two different deot. And therefore, when it says bein berishona, bein bishniya, bein bishlishit, those could be different kohanim. And therefore, we wouldn't say that kol ha'osel dat rishona osel, because it's not my dot, it was the other guy's dot. But suppose you hold that when it says bizot yavo aron ala kodesh bepar, it means a par, not the blood of somebody else's par. So then it means bepar velo bedam osho par, ma'ikala meimar. You cannot ever have a situation in which you have a different person that is continuing from what someone said before. And therefore, you can't say, Bein Barishana, Bein Bishna, Bein Bishlishit. So if we're talking about Bein Barishana, it's got to be talking about the same guy. In which case, it says that the Chachomim are Cholek, even in the event that he had started with a Machshava Spiegel, and then did not have a Machshava Spiegel, according to which Rav would have said, well, if you started with a Machshava Spiegel, Kaloi Saldat Rishana Huose, then, and this was a Gavi, except he's been hiding out today, but Gavi, if he brings out his magic pen, just to make sure, I'm pretty sure he put it down already, but this Kaloi Saldat Rishana Huose, this is also one of the Kalolim, and it seems to be against Rav. Oh my, Rava, it's not a problem. Because what it might be talking about is the Kohen Gadol did have a Machshava Spiegel. Yes. Berishona. And yes, he was Shatak Bishnia. Yes, indeed. So you say, so that proves that he did the Shnia also with a Machshava Spiegel. But the case is that he was then Mefagel and said, and I'm doing this third set on the Mizbeach HaPnimit in order to eat it Lamocha. Now, if he was really doing everything al dat rishona, why did he suddenly feel the need to repeat? I thought that he's already made it crystal clear that everything that he's doing is on the basis of Achila tomorrow. So obviously, if he needed to repeat it for the third set, then the second set was b'shtika. And if the second set was b'shtika, that would explain why the Chachamim argue on Rebbe Meir, because it's only a chatzi matir. So therefore, I mean, it's a third of the matir, but what the heck, there's no difference. So Achamayaskinan, Kagon, Shepigel, Barishonan, he said, I'm going to eat it l'mocha. But then he was shatak in the second set that was done in the Echal. And then in the third set, when he came to the Matanos on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, he said, this is being done, Almanat to be Oichel Chutz L'Zmanai. So therefore, we say to ourselves, in this case, that he really had in mind, why did he need to repeat himself in the Matanot HaShlishit? Mihader pigule b'shlishit lamali. That's why what it means over here is that we're bringing out just a more sophisticated version of the idea of Ein Mefagmin b'chatzi matir to point out that we also need to consider the pattern where we have a pattern that can make itself felt within the three sets. Matke Flaravashi. Ah, come on. I mean, the Braita doesn't say cases like that. It says whether you did it in the first or the second or the third. I mean, you're telling me that that means in the first and the third, but he was quiet in the second. I mean, so then you'd have to mention you were quiet in the second. You can't say first, second, or third means any which way you make it. How do you get to that? I mean, mide, shatakatani. Does it say anywhere in the list of this brightness that something was a something in which you did not say it? No. So it's contrasting whether it's first, second, or third. I don't think that's the point. No. I'll tell you what that point is, says Ravashi. It's talking about that you did a beferish apigal on the first and the second only. That's the case. So there we say to ourselves, well, if you had a beferish apigal in the first and the second, why didn't you have a apigal on the third? I mean, if you're going to tell me that whatever you're doing is al dat rishona, then why did you mention the second set? And therefore, if we're going to say, well, he didn't want to rely on what he... Ah, so then he didn't say anything for the third set, because otherwise his behavior is inconsistent. So therefore, then why did he have to repeat for the second one? Would have been enough just to do it on the first one. So since he found it necessary to repeat the second one, and he didn't repeat the third one, that would imply that this is only a chatzi matir. That's the case. At least that fits in with the words rishona, shnia, or shlishit. You see? So at least the way I'm learning it, you could put it in, but the way you're doing it, you have to skip the shnia and go to the shlishit. Yeah, but come on. I mean, even that really is not reasonable. Because, I mean, it says the words bein berishona, bein bishnia, bein bishlishit. That doesn't really leave room, does it, for saying that the point is, as Ravashi's saying, that it means first and second, but not third. I mean, that's not what it says. Yeah, you're right. It's not what it says. Okay, Kasha, that's a problem. All right, but it's not fatal for Rav anyway. So now, can I look again at that Braita, by the way? Because something about Rebbe Meir doesn't make sense. Look, what did it say in the Braita? Pigo, the chayovin alav karet, right? It says, whether it was berishona, bishniya, bishlishit, you made it pigo. Now, here's my problem. This next piece, by the way, we had word for word in Zvachim. So you're going to find it very simple and clear. I don't think your new look is an improvement, Govs. Please give us the real Gavi, unless this has been the real Gavi all along. So, Amarmar, what did you say? Pigo v'chayovan alav kares. Now, my problem is, Mirti. You are never going to be mechayev koras. This is a very important nekuda, remember, in all of the dinim of pigol. As we've always explained, you cannot be mechayev pigol unless everything was done properly, right? Korav hamater kibitzvasei, the way in which this was expressed by our recent Gavi was the idea of kach sharat kasher, kach acharat pasul. So if something is going to be considered to be a kosher carbon, everything that needs to be done for it needs to be done in order to make a carbon, so to speak, kosher for its pigol. It has to be totally pigled. And therefore, if you first do your machsheves pigol on the first thing that you did, right? And now you're going to come in with the dam that you turned pigol in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. You're going to take that dam, you're going to move into the Heichal, and you're going to take that dam, you're going to sprinkle it on the Parochet. Is that dam that you're sprinkling? Do you look closer? Does it look like dam to you? It isn't dam anymore. It's basically colored water. How did that happen? Because when you add a machsheves pigol on it, you've already made it pasul. Well, dam pasul might as well be colored water. So then that means you never get to finish the carbon properly. And therefore, how can you ever be chayev karas? You're never chayev on pigol unless you completed the whole carbon. Because michte, karet lo michayev achikrevu kol amatirim. Remember that there's no chiyav unless you bring the whole carbon as it's meant to be brought to Yom Ha'amar. It says yeratzeh. It says yeratzeh benogea normal korbanos, and it says yeratzeh benogea pigol. Uses the same lashon yeratzeh or lo yeratzeh, which means that it's the same yeratzeh we're talking about. That is to say, kahartzaat kasher, kahartzaat pasul. You want to talk about pigol, it has to be a mirror image of the yeratzeh on the kosher korban. And if not, then it's not pigol either. So just like hartzaat kasher, you're going to say that a kosher korban, that you left out the zrika, is that a kosher korban? Absolutely no. And therefore, ma'atzat kasher ha'chikrevu kol ha'matirin, all the way through, including the zrikas adam, afatzat pasul ha'chikrevu kol ha'matirin. So you're going to have to finish bringing this korban of Yom HaKippurim correctly. Now, how can you bring it correctly if all you've got is colored water? So there seems to be a fundamental problem with the way the Rebbe Meir is going about understanding this. But because I, keeping the kosher bebifnim, the moment that you had your machsheves pigol when it was inside of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the next group of hazoya, kimadi, madi is hazoya, when you do hazoya in the heichal, what do you think you're sprinkling? Blood? That's not blood. That's colored water. Maya be'alma u'dekamadi. All you're doing is sprinkling water. So how are you going to be able to be yeratzeh on this carbon as if it were kosher? Well, says Rabbah, there's an easy way. You could be talking about a case where you separated four different parim so that you brought a different par for the next group and then a different par for the third group or a different sayer. And basically, you ended up using fresh blood. And if you've got fresh blood, then that blood is never water. It's always very nourishing. And because of that, you don't necessarily have to pasul the blood for the next time that you bring it, do you? Rava says, what's the problem? You guys are making a mountain out of a molehill. Remember, yes, Mo, sorry, nothing personal. But remember that when it comes to pigol, pigol has its own virtual reality, right? That's the whole deal with pigol. So as far as the world of pigol is concerned, pasul dam is just the right kind of dam that you want. And it's more pigol than ever. So in the world of pigol, pigled blood is better blood, at least for pigol. And therefore, afilu tema par echad v'sa'ir echad, it doesn't have to be separate animals. Lipigule Mirace. That's the whole point of the virtual world of Pigle. And vis-a-vis Pigle, this is a wonderful ritsui. A ritsui to the devil, perhaps, but it's still a ritsui. Okay, by the way, I was a little confused. You said there were 43 different matanais on Yom Kippur. Now, I have a braita that says exactly the same thing, except instead of the words 43, it says the 44, the 47 on Yom Kippur. How do you explain that? Very simply. Lokasha, ha kamandi omar ma'arvim lekranot, va ha kamandi omar ein ma'arvim lekranot. It's a machlokas whether you mix the dam of the sayer and the dam of the par in order to do the four kranot of the mizbeach ha'pnimi. If you hold, you mix it, so then you don't have an extra four that are separate from the soyer. But if you have to keep the soyer separate from the par, then instead of having just four, you've got eight, and that adds four to the 43, which brings us up to the 47. Ah, I knew you'd say that. But what about the braita that says 48, huh? What are you going to do about that? Well, Tanya Arbaim Vishmana. Also, no problemo. Lo kasha, ha-kamandi omar shirayim ma'akvim, va-ha-kamandi omar shirayim einan ma'akvim. So if, in addition to those 43 or 44, as the case may be, according to the particular mandi omar, you also hold that the shirayim of the parvasoyer, which are mixed and poured out on this yisot of the Nizbeach HaKitzei, if that's ma'akev, it adds one more matir of dam, which brings us up to 48. So now we have all the possibilities. Now, I got another problem over here. What would be the din of holacha? Now, remember, this is the place I told you, keep in mind that opening braita, because it's going to be critical for the end of the daf. Now, as soon as you hear those words, pigo b'holacha mahu, you immediately remember that braita. I mean, that braita said that in the case where the kmitza or the holacha, or the haktora, or the holacha were done, except for the haktora. So where the haktora has tumatirin, yes. But where you're talking about kmitza and nesina bekli and holacha, no. Remember that first braita? Anyway, so that first braita clearly says that the holacha of the komets and the holacha of the Levon are very different. You can go ahead and be komets only the Sola. You could be komets not only the Levona. But there's no such avada, so it wouldn't matter. At least that's the way Rashi understood it. You can be molich the komets alone and not the Levona, but you can't be makter one alone because then they're both necessary. That's what they started off with. And here, we've got this weird question that seems to simply be ignoring that braita. Pigel b'holacha mahu. So what's the din if you did a chatzi matir, meaning you only had in kavona to eat chutz lizmanoi, where you were bringing with your feet, you're walking towards the mizbeach, and you only have the komets in your hand, in the kli actually, and you have in kavona, I'm doing this holacha in order to eat tomorrow. What's the din? Is this a chatzi matir, or is it not a chatzi matir? So how do we look at a holacha? Because on the one hand, we said before in that bright, I mean, you're only doing it over here with the komets, not with the levona, and so maybe that would be the whole thing. But if the kmitza may be different, the haktorah has to be done with the levona. Is the holocha a function of the haktorah, since it's the bringing it up to the mizbeach to be able to maktir? Okay, so now, look. According to Reish Lakish, aliba de Reish Lakish, so then, I didn't even tell you the machlokes yet, sorry. Om Rabbi Yochanan, holocha is kikmitza, and it makes no difference, just like a pigol is considered to be kol hamatir on kmitza of the actual mincha alone without levana, so too is the holacha. Whereas Reish Lakish says, no, holacha is basically like The Haktorah. The Haktorah requires both the Kometz and the Levona, and in order to bring it up to the Haktorah, you have to bring both the Kometz and the Levona. So Memela would only be a Chatzi Matir. What's this for? So Bishlamar Liber Resh Lakish, who holds that Holacha is as necessary for the Haktorah as the Haktorah? It makes sense. It is a Chatzi Matir, because, I mean, how do I avoid bringing the Holacha to the Mizbeah? I have no way of avoiding that. So that means if I'm only having a Machsheves Pigol on the Holacha of the Kometz, not of the Levona, it's only a Chatzi Matir. But what's this for of Rabbi Yochanan? Why would Holacha be different than Haktorah and would be the equivalent of Kmitza? You could tell me you don't need Kmitza for the Levona, and that makes sense. But you can't tell me you don't need Holacha. So what's this for? Omar Rava, Kasova Rabbi Yochanan. Now, we're going to be getting into a completely new idea here that Rabbi Yochanan is Mechadish about the definition of a matir. So remember, we've had some very subtle distinctions over here between a matir that goes in order of the carbon, which is part of the same carbon, or a matir, which is exactly the same as its other half, and which is irrelevant in terms of its order, or whether we have a matir that the Torah bedavka set together in certain ways, and in other ways kept separate, like the matirin of the Shtei Halechem. We've had a lot of subtle ideas. And the question, according to Rabbi Yossi, about whether the matir relates to what it is, that it's being matir specifically, or it's a din in the carbon as a whole concept. And Rabbi Yochanan introduces a new question. You can have something which is a matir for the next step, but suppose it's not a direct matir for what it is that your Machsheves Pigel is all about. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that an avoda that is not directly matir is considered to be an aveda lefagel bifnei atzma. The issue is this. If you are not directly being matir anything, so now, right now, if you are doing a shechita, are you being matir the achila with the shechita? No. You've got all these steps in the middle that you have to do. The shechita is not acting on the heter achila. The shechita is acting to make dam available for zrika. Now, if that's the case, what's the sense of talking about a chatzi matir? If it anyway is not really being matir, the thing that you were thinking about, so how can you say, I am doing this thing, which is matir what I'm thinking about, and namely to eat, and I'm thinking about that eating in the wrong way. I'm thinking about that eating as doing it lamacha. And therefore, if I didn't do everything that was needed for that eating, it's only a chatzi matir. What in the world? The shechita doesn't relate directly to the eating, does it? So how can you talk about a chatzi matir? What does that even mean? It's the whole step that is necessary, but it's not the step that has to do with your eating directly. And therefore, if you have a concept of a chatzi matir, then I understand. You can argue and can say, look, the Torah required the whole matir, you're only doing half of the matir. But if it's not a matir, what's the meaning of it's being a chatzi matir? Remember that we saw before that there's two different concepts that may make something enough to be mafago. Remember the case that we were talking about where somebody is holding up the kli for the kedusha or something like that. So there are concepts in which, and the Gemara talked out over there, it must be that where there's a aveda which is chashuva bifnei atzma, that's the equivalent of calling it a matir, because I need it, so it's chashuva. Or there's literally a matir, in which when I bring the dam to the mizbeach, I am with that act being matir the batzer b'achila. Now, says Rabbi Yochanan, if the concern over here is with an avoda chashuva, which therefore gives it the power to be mafagel, and in that sense, it's an ultimate matir, that doesn't mean that its concept of chatzi matir could possibly apply to it. A chatzi matir is a logical step where I'm combining this with another thing in order to achieve the next step. But there's no such thing when it comes to kmitza. Therefore, Taina's Rabbi Yochanan, at least the way Rava understands it, is that if that avoda is not directly what is necessary for the Hatorah, such as the Shvita or the kmitza, what about the halacha? Well, is the halacha necessary? Let me ask you something. Suppose you made an assembly line, Henry Ford's new Beis HaMikdash, in which nobody moves an inch. Every Kohen passes it on to the next Kohen, and until it gets to the Kohen who's standing next to the Mizbeach, who does the actual Haktorah Agami Mizbeach. Not one person did a halacha. How about that? So in that case, I can get away without halacha, which means that this halacha is not really a matir. It's like a luxury. You know, you wanted to do halacha. You didn't need to do the halacha. So that would mean, as far as the halacha is concerned, you can't really view it as part of the haktarah, Rish Lakish, can you? Well, then it's like the shvita. Then it's like the actual equivalent to shvita, which is the kmitza. And in those cases, as we said, there's no concept of a chatzi matir because there's no whole matir. That's all. Well, says Abaya, I don't understand. What about, we have the shnei kivsei atzeret, right? And we said you have to shech both of those kvasim. Now, if you shech those kvasim, is that necessary in order, if I do the shlita of this keves, is that necessary in order for me to eat the other one? Is it necessary for me to eat this one? I mean, no. Of course, it's necessary, ultimately, in terms of being an avodah chashuva. But without the zrika, can I eat the meat? Of course not. So I'm still, it's exactly the same thing as doing the kmitza over here, right? So the reason that it's chashuv, the kmitza of each, the shchita of each one of these kvasim, is the same reason that kmitza is chashuv. It's not the immediate matir of the achilas hashirayim, but it's the avodah chashuva, which means you can have a machsheva spiko. Well, the same thing is true in the case of echad me'akvasim, and that's one of the classic cases in the Mishnah, where we have the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, and we call it a chatzi matir. So how the heck can you claim that Rabbi Yochanan holds that if it's not a literal immediate matir, that it's not considered ever to be a problem of a chatzi matir, because how can you have a chatzi that is less choshev than what? It's an avodah chashuva, that's all that counts. It's not doing anything immediate to the basar, in the case here, or to the emurim, or to the note, the shiraim of the mincha, in the case of the mincha. So what's the difference? And yet that is mamish, the case in the Mishnah, where we have the machlokas about whether mefagli b'chatzi matir. So how can you say such a thing? In that case, pligi. Ditznan, that's our Mishnah. Shachat echat min hakvasim. Lechol shtei chalot l'machar. Hikter echad min habezichim. Lechol shnei sidarim l'machar. These are two examples where we have two things that need to be done. And one of them is echad min hakvasim. According to Rabbi Meir, you're chayev because it's a chatzi matir. But according to the Chachamim, it's a chatzi matir, and therefore you're potter, because ein befagim b'chatzi matir. And they say beferish, ein bo karet ad shifagim b'chatzi matir. So you see that we consider the act of shchita of a keves to be only a chatzi matir, despite the fact that it isn't a matir according to this new description that Rabbi Yochanan gives to a matir. How do you explain that? Omar Lay, you're missing another very important chiddush of Rabbi Yochanan. And that is, mi savra that lechem batanur kadosh? No, the shchita of the kvasim is mekadesh to shtei halechem. So even though these shtei halechem are baked inside an oven that belongs to Hegdesh, and you think that that's enough, therefore, to make them kadesh as kachet kadashim, and they are now ro'oi for achila, it's not true. What gives them their kedushas haguf is ultimately the shchita of the kvasim. And therefore, let me explain to you. Did I not say, please, these are complex ideas that Rabbi Yochanan is saying. Rabbi Yochanan's concept was that if you have something that is not working because it's a direct matir, it's working as a mafagel because it's necessary, it's critical. So a critical aveda, which the Gemara calls aveda chashuva, is enough to create pigel. But the fact that it's critical does not mean that we call it a direct matter of this thing. So its criticality doesn't have half criticality. Criticality is criticality. It's still critical, isn't it? So what do you mean it's half critical? That's like saying your heart is critical, but your brain isn't critical. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. You know, says, how is it possible to talk about a half of a critical? And therefore, that was Rabbi Yochanan's idea. If the reason that it's being mefagel is because of its avoda chashuva, and not because of its being that which makes the achila mutter. So how do we talk about a chatzi matter? Well, the same thing is true, says Rabbi Yochanan. If what makes this critical is the fact that the kedusha devolves upon what it is that needs to be kodesh because of it, so therefore, it's boim lekadesh. It's not boim lahatir. Fine. But I need both kvasim in order to be mekadesh the lechem. That creates a dual criticality. It's both or nothing. If you don't bring both of these kvasim, then you don't have a full kedusha of the shtei halechem. So that's the equivalent of a matir. The same way a matir can be split into half, a bala kadesh can be split into half. Are you guys still with me? I'm getting to the squiggly stage. In the squiggly stage, everybody's face looks like a donkey. Thank you for the demonstration, Gabi, but I see it every day. Anyway, calling all the Peter Adam and Peter Chamorim out there, nobody's ready to own up to being a Peter Chamor. Look, better a Peter Chamor than just to be a squiggle in life. At least there's a level of Kedusha on Peter Chamor. It requires pidyon. Nope. No response. Earth calling. E.T. phone home. Oh, well. Anyway. Looky. We have the captain of the intergalactic spaceship, Richie. Excellent. He still somehow looks a little bit chamorish when he's eating, but all right. We'll take him as he is. Okay. In any event, Rabosa, this is a rather complex limud that comes to explain to us Rabbi Yochanan's approach here in the Machlokas about whether holacha without the Levona would be considered a chatzi matir. Now, how about another case? If this is Rava's explanation, so then how do you deal with the Shechita of the Pesach? So we have here another one of, we're quoting half of a thing. So we know someone who is an Orel is not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach. Now, the din is that the Shechita of the Korban Pesach has to be done for people who are able to eat it. You remember that whole sugya. It's the only korban where the achila is definitive. And if you do the shechita, that was one of the things whenever we try to bring a raya to something else from the korban Pesach, we always say, malo korban Pesach, that the shechita is necessary for oichlav. That's its unique din. Now, it says over there in that Mishnah that if you shechted a korban Pesach for people who are arelim, it is pasul. But, says the Mishnah, if you mix your kavana, you're shechting it for some people who are arelim and some people who are mulim, so then it's kosher for the ones who are roy to eat. Now, it says over there in the braita that acherim omrim, actually it depends on the order. And that, what did you think of first? Hikdim arelim lemulim. So if your first kavana was, you said, I'm shechting this for people who are arelim, and also for people who are mulim. And there it's talking about that it's not just that you said it in that order, but you actually are doing the shechita in that order. Why? Because the shechita, we have the kana and the veshet, right? So each one of those is part of the act of shechita. So let's say you're shochet the kana for mulim, and then you're shochet the veshet for arelin, or vice versa. That's what it's talking about. So therefore, if your first kavana was for arelin, so then it's already puzzle. If the first one was for mulim, then it's kosher. And in the Gemara over there, we said that the machlokas between the acherim and the chachomi that are in the Mishnah, who says it doesn't matter, is exactly our question. It's the shaila of whether a chatzi mater is koveya. So in the Mishnah, which was going according to our chachomim, since only one of the either the kana or the veshet, so one of the simanim of shchita is only a chatzi matir. So the chachomim say you cannot passel it, therefore with a chatzi matir in any order. And the second one is going, the braita was going a aliba the Rebbe Meir, that you're mefakmin b'chatzi matir. And therefore, as soon as you made it here, the same idea, you made it the puzzle, and because of that, they say even b'nogei l'korban Pesach, if it's not going to be matir the achila, it's not going to be matir anything at all. Now, over there, there's nothing for the shechita to be matir, and there's nothing for the shechita to be mekadesh, because the korban Pesach is a completely kosher korban Pesach and a kodesh korban Pesach without shechita. So why in that case are they still arguing about chatzi matir? According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's not called a chatzi matir anymore because it's not the direct matir, so I don't get it. Says Rav Shimi, says Ravat Rav Shimi, who asked on him, Mi savarta dam b'tzavar be'iman kadash? Ah, I see you think that the shechita is not part of what makes the actual kedusha on the dam. That's why you're asking this. Well, it's the same question that you asked before about the mincha, where you didn't realize that I need the shnei kvasim to make the mincha, which is in this case the shtei alechem, kodesh. Over here, the dam itself only gets its kedusha when you use the sakim to do the shechita. And therefore, it's not yet roi to be kodesh for zrika. And therefore, did you think that while it's still in the animal, just because it was set aside as a carbon, that makes it kodesh? Absolutely not. It only becomes kodesh once you do the shechita, which means that the shechita is coming as a mekadesh. And I already explained to you, a chatzi matir on a mekadesh, just a kana, just a veshet, is just as bad as a chatzi matir in a matir. And therefore, since in the dam, it's the sakin that's mekadesh, and I said to you before, Habola Kadesh Kebola Hatir, it's just as bad if you're coming to be Mekadesh as if you're Bola Hatir. Therefore, it's not a problem. Okay, well, what about Rish Lakish? Rish Lakish claims, and now we finally get back to that first Braita, which said Beferish, not like Rish Lakish here. Tashma, our first Braita, what did the first Braita say? It said Beferish, that whole Lacha is the same thing as kmitza, and would not be considered to be a chatzi matir. And Rish Lakish is claiming that no, halacha is necessary for the haktorah, and therefore it's considered to be a chatzi matir, the same way that a chatzi of the haktorah would be, which everybody was ready to agree to, right? Let me just remind you, my friend, just right here, I'm an olive. We just read this braita, for heaven's sakes. Bameh devarim amurim. Bekmitza, b'matan kli, ubehiluch, that there, according to the Braita, it's not considered to be a problem just to create pigel through a kmitza of the solet and not the lavona. Same thing is true of matan kli, and same thing is true about halacha. Ah, what's Rish Lakish talking about? I mean, I'm assuming it says b'matan kli. Matan Kli, and then Hiluch talks about Ubi Hiluch, taking that Kli to the Mizbeach. No, I mean, I think that's what it means. My love, be Hiluch back Torah. No, it's a Beferish Bright and not like Rish Lakish. What are we wasting our time on? No, says Rish Lakish. What it's referring to over here is the Hiluch, meaning the Hiluch of the Matan Kli. Remember that between the actual Kmitza and the halacha, what do you need to do? You need to bring the kometz from the kmitza of the kohen, which was out of the bisa, and now you put it into the klishores, which is used now for the halacha. The halacha of the komets to the kli is what it's referring to. Well, that's not important. But I'm talking about, when I say halacha is part of the haktara, I'm, Miresh Lakish, I'm talking about the halacha towards the haktara, obviously. That's not what that brayta was referring to. It was referring to the kohen's walking with the komets towards the kli, which he's going to use for making the netina of a kli in. So it's hilach d'matan kli. Okay, so then, I mean, it should have said in the other order. I mean, if it's hilach l'matan kli, then the hilach should come before the matan kli. So why does it say matan kli, hilach? It should have said hilach and then matan kli. Obviously, if it puts the hilach after the matan kli, it's not talking about the hilach towards the matan kli. It's talking about the hilach of the actual kli to the mizbeach to do the haktara. Okay, so change the girsa. I mean, obviously, people got mixed up. Says Reish Lakish, Shalom Kasha, Tanei Hachi. So change it. Change the order. Okay, Reish Lakish, look. Let's take a look at the next piece, okay, of the Braita. Balo l'haktara. So now the next stage is he comes to do the haktara. Then it is ma'akev. What do you mean, balo l'haktara? It's not up to there. It should have said balo l'halacha. When he comes to the next stage, which is bringing this kli to the mizbeach, and according to you, that's very important because the halacha would already be able to make a chatzimatir problem, right? So it says bolo laktara. According to you, that's not the next thing. It should say bolo laktara. Well, that's not so bad. I mean, since the whole point over here is that I am considering the halacha to be part of the act of haktara, and that's why it's so chashev, so it means the same thing. Kivan the halacha is tzorach the haktara, so it calls it bolo lahaktara because it wants you to remember the next step after the Kiddush Kli would be obviously the halacha, but the halacha for the haktara. Okay. Reish Lakish, the Braita said, Natan et hakometz b'shtika. According to you, the next thing was not Natan, it was Holich. Holich, you said, right? Because you said that's what it should become, and you said that we're talking about, I mean, when it comes to the Haktara, okay, I understand, but I mean, never once did you mention Holach. Never once. He didn't say, when it comes even to the halacha, don't you think that at least talk about the kli? Talk about when we said, Natana da komets pishtika. Talk about that kli. Did you mention it? You should have said, holich pishtika, somewhere in the braita to mention the one major thing that is the chiddush over here, according to you. Not to mention it once, to always avoid talking about the halacha. I think that's very suspicious. Okay, it's suspicious. A little suspicion over here is never fatal. So, Kasha, true, it's not mashma like me. I agree, says Reish Lakish. But nonetheless, it's not a fatal problem. Okay, now, I got another question. This is fascinating. So remember, we've got two completely different issues. I know it's a little bit late here. Gosh. We is running out of time, but we had fun. I mean, when you have fun, you don't even notice that the time is passing, right? Like it says, time flies when you're having fun. So if it flies, do we have to be chayshish? It will fly if we continue to have fun. Maybe if in the next piece we don't have fun, it won't fly, and therefore we'll get stuck in time, and it'll be like catch 22, and we'll find ourselves taking forever to get to the end of the daf, because the time barely moves. I'm not sure if that will work. There's always some nasty people out there that will have fun. And if they have fun, the time will fly. Well, let's give it another couple of minutes and see how far we get. Then we can tell by the clock how much fun we're having. Okay. So, how about a case like this? Now, this is Sesame Street questions. And it's all about sesame. So suppose you bring one little sesame size of the comets in order to eat a sesame size of the shirai. Okay? Now, obviously, that's not called achila, because achila is a kezayis, and it's not called aktara, because aktara is a kezayis. And therefore, remember, the Mishnah said, you're only going to create pigal in the event that your kavanah was to eat a kezayit, or to be makter a kezayit, and you had to do the haktara of a kezayit in order to create the pigal. So we got two problems over here. There was no act of haktara to have the machsheves pigal, and there was no machsheves pigal because there was no eating, because it was only a sesame. Can the sesame of the haktara be considered a matir? Matir means open sesame. So would that be a matir which would allow me to have a kavana of achila if it were an achila? And then the other question is, can all of those sesame together create the shear of a kezayis for achila, even though there was no one act that I had pigal kavana for? How about that? So over here, you've got two problems. You're makter a shumshum in order to eat a shumshum until you finish the whole deal, the whole komets and the whole shirayim of achila. So Rav Chista, Rav Amnuna, and Rav Sheshes argue. One says, yes, indeed, this is pure pigal. One says, well, it's not really pigal to be b'chayef karas, but it is pasul. And one says, get out of here, it's actually kosher. Now, we have a very convenient explanation of this machloket. We could say that the man d'amar who says it's pigal says, well, it's going like Rabbi Meir. Every sesame seed is a chatzi matir, and according to Rabbi Meir, a chatzi matir is good enough. So you could put it all together. The man d'amar, well, but it's pasul, but it's not actually pigal. So they held they could go according to the Rabbanan, who argued with Rabbi Meir, and they say, omnam, it's not actually of a pigal, but because in the fagman b'chatzi matir, and each sesame is only a chatzi matir, but it's still pasul, remember, because of the gezeira. And the man d'amar says it's kosher, he would be going according to Rebbe. Because remember the case that we had with Rebbe was when you shechted one of the kivsei atzeret to eat a chatzi kezayit from one of the shtei alechem, and then you shechted the other one to eat a chatzi kezayit from the other one, Rebbe says in that case, it's totally kosher because you don't have either. You don't have a full kezayis of a matir, and you don't have a full kezayis of the achila that the matir is as supposed to be acting on, you see? So wouldn't that be a great explanation? Says the Gemara, no, it's a horrible explanation. There's no actual crossover between the machlokas of Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim and Rebbe to the issues that are included herein. And actually, all three of the Man d'amrim who argue, and I don't know who says what, but I know Rav Chista, Rav Amnuna, Rav Sheshes, they argue, they could each hold, like any of the primary shitas of Rabbi Meir, or the Chachamim, or Rebbe that we've been talking about over here. I don't understand what you're talking about. Mimai, what makes you think there's anything to do with it? All that Rabbi Meir said over there is that the chatzi matir works because at least when you had your machshava to eat, it was a machshava on the shear of a kezayis. But where did he ever say that you could have a chatzi matir acting on something that wasn't an act of achila, but you can turn it ultimately into achila because all of the sesame seeds combine? He didn't say that. Never talked about that. So hocha, the machshava was not a shear of achila. Maybe he wouldn't say it. I don't know. And the Rabbanan who said, Ein mechashvin b'chatzi matir, and therefore it's pasul. I mean, it could be that in this case, that they only said that to lochishep b'kulei matir. He didn't end up including the entire matir, but over here at the end, he put all the sesame together. Maybe the Chachamim would be made of that. That's the whole matir. Why should we look at it as each sesame separately? Once you put the sesames together, you then can say, open sesame. And at that moment, it opens the way to the achila for the whole thing. Maybe that's a kosher way of being matir. I don't know. So it has nothing to do with the Chachamim as far as I'm concerned. And now let's take a look at Rebbe. Over there, the reason that Rebbe said there's no iser at all That's because you never ended up filling both the komets and the, in that case it was the shlita, both kvasim, and you never ended up having a full shear in either. So that's lo hadamalia me'otavoda. You never finished with the same kevets. You never went back and made sure that you had the whole thing. But over here, you were using the same Aveda. It's just that it gathered gradually. And it started with a sesame, and then it kept going. And it was the same Akhtara every time. Not over there, where you moved to a different one of the animals. What's the comparison? Maybe Rebbe would be made in this case that it's certainly completely puzzle. And therefore, there is no actual contiguous space between these three Mandi Amrim and those three Mandi Amrim. Every Shita, I don't know what is over here, but whoever said it's Pigal, he could be going according to everybody. The one who says it's possible could be going according to anybody. And the one who says it's completely kosher could be going according to anybody. And that is the correct way of understanding it. How do I mean that? Well, if you say that it is Pigal, it's going according to everybody. And what is the issue? Is it considered to be the derech of achila to eat a little sesame seed and another little sesame seed? Is that called a derech achila? Is it considered to be a derech haktara to bring a sesame seed and then another sesame seed? If it is, and it's within the realm of the concept of haktara and achila, so then this is pigal, okay? The Mandi Amar is puzzle also. He holds that, well, it may be a normal way of eating, you know, but it's not a normal way of being maktir. If it's not a normal way of being mocked here, then it's a mincha where you never put the komets on the mizbeach, and therefore it's possible. Yes, a mincha without a komets is possible, but it's not pigal. And the Mandi Amar says it's completely kosher. He holds this is a proper haktarah for the mizbeach, but it's not a normal way of eating. So therefore, what did I do? I did everything right. I did the full haktarah, but I had a machsheves pigal. You did? Where? A machsheves pigal requires a kezias. But I put it together a kezayit, but that's not the normal way of eating. And therefore, there was no machsheves pigal, and there was a perfectly kosher haktarah, because a haktarah of komets, of sesame, is considered to be a proper haktarah. And therefore, it's a 100% kosher, actual mincha. See? Very little time passed, I hope. Okay, everybody, forgive me. We'll see you. Why should I ask forgiveness for fun, for heaven's sakes? Bezrat Hashem, see you tomorrow. Besurot Tovot.